RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo meets Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono at the Merdeka Palace. Australia studies investment in Mandalika. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo meets his predecessor Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono at Merdeka Palace on Tuesday noon, on which both of them are having private meeting. The two leaders, who have had rocky relationship over the past year, were holding a joint press conference after the meeting, according to several staff members at the palace. A number of professional office staffers had been seen preparing the venue for the meeting at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. As many as 15 delegates from Australia visited Mandalika Special Economic Zone in Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, to study investment opportunities in the area of 1,200 hectares land. Delegate of Australian Embassy to Indonesia, Chris Pandy, said in Lombok on Wednesday that the delegations, who consist of investor and consultant, expressed their interest on the zone. Chris Pandy also said that the visit was to see directly the potential of the zone. This is in line with the decision of the Australian Embassy to focus on Lombok and improve tourist attraction in Lombok. Non-active Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has met South African President Jacob Zuma at the residence of Vice President Megawati Soekarno Putri. Basuki discussed memorandum of understanding of sister city program and opened the Thousand Islands for cooperation. Governor Basuki said that he is also interested in the cultivation of fishing industry in South Africa. South Africa provides land and permits. He views that Jakarta has many regionally owned enterprises, including the private sectors. He added that the cooperation would be discussed when his position as Jakarta governor is activated. Moreover, Basuki also pointed out that South Africa was interested in following political developments in Indonesia. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has said that Indonesian government will offer an Australian company the opportunity to jointly manage Lombok International Airport in West Nusa Tenggara. The offer came after meeting between Minister Budi and Australian Regional Development, Regional Communication and Local Government and Territories Minister Hon Fiona Ness on Thursday. The airport has not yet been able to turn a profit. As such, the minister hopes that the cooperation will increase traffic and spur further development of the airport. The meeting also highlighted possible cooperation between the two countries in tourism and aviation, especially in remote and border areas. Indonesia has invited private companies to take part in developing airport because of limited funds in the state budget. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Australian Consulate General in Bali commemorated International Women's Day 2017 with the businesswomen from Indonesia and Australia at the Consulate General Residence in Sanur, Bali on Wednesday. This year, International Women's Day celebration highlighted the economic, political and social achievements of women and focused on women's economic empowerment through aid, trade and economic diplomacy. Australian Consul General Helena Studdard said in her opening remarks that the day is a time to reflect on progress made to date and to recommit to addressing the persistent barriers to full gender equality and women's empowerment. She feels that women's economic environment is a driver of economic growth and prosperity. Meanwhile, Nilu Jelantik, a successful Indonesian businesswoman from Bali, made an inspirational speech at the event. She encouraged women to believe and build the dreams, and the dreams is unlimited, but build it with integrity. Indonesian Keramik Industrial Association cooperates with Reed Panorama Exhibition to hold Keramik Exhibition 2017 in a bid to promote keramik industry and development of industrial technology at the global market. The exhibition will be held on March 16 to 19, 2017 in Jakarta Convention Center, GCC, South Jakarta. Chairman of the association, Elisa Sinaga, said in a statement on Tuesday, through the exhibition, industry players highlight Indonesian work and improvement of keramik industry by presenting technology created by innovative products with good quality to fulfill export market. She also said that the exhibition will be participated in by 48 participants from various countries such as People's Republic of China, India, Italy, Turkey, and United States. The exhibition is expected to be able to push domestic market to use local products in various development projects. The last item, malaria has become one of the dangerous diseases that can lead to death for the sufferers, thus to reduce the number of victims and to treat. The disease, Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, develops anti-malaria medicine in 2017. Researcher from Research Center for Chemistry at LIPI, Yeni Miliana, to our rival service Voice of Indonesia after attending the public discussion on World Women's Day in 2017 at LIPI building in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon said that the anti-malaria medicine research conducted by LIPI certainly involves a number of related institutions in order to obtain optimal results.
2017 itu saya mengerjakan tadi anti-malaria.
I conducted research of anti-malaria by using nanotechnology. I also developed biopesticides. For the research, I consider which one the user is. If it is to offer industry, I will involve it. For example, anti-malaria, I also involve the Minister of Health, the Minister of Agriculture, as well as Indo Pharma Company. I do it in order to be integrated and the result can be focused.
Besides, Yeni Miliana also expects that her research related to the development of anti-malaria can bring about benefit for health world in Indonesia, because Indonesia still becomes one of the countries which has malaria sufferers. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello listener, our commentary today entitled National Music Day. Today, Indonesia Nation is commemorating the National Music Day. It was initiated by the Association of Artists, Creators and Music Recording Industry, PAFRI, during the era of President Megawati Soekarnoputri. But the National Music Day was set in the era of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono in 2013. In the Presidential Decree No. 10, 2013, it states that the establishment of National Music Day is part of efforts to increase public appreciation of Indonesian music, to boost confidence and motivation of Indonesian musicians, as well as to improve achievement capable of elevating the Indonesian music nationally, regionally, and internationally. In this regard, we view that the commemoration of National Music Day is not only an annual ceremonial event, but also a golden opportunity to improve the potential of Indonesian music. As we know that music is a universal language that can reach up to the remote areas around the world. Music can be a powerful media to convey a variety of things and to bring the resonance of hearts among people. In the era of multimedia nowadays, music is an intimate friend of our daily life. No additional equipment is required, we just have smart telephones. In this case, access and reference are much wider. During 1980s and 1990s, the access came from conventional electronic media or cassettes. Then the problem occurs. The technological advance also brings about negative impact on the growth of the music industry. Easy multiplication of the digital music done illegally is profitable for the business people of the music industry, including less royalty which is received.
Based on these facts, the National Musyrik Day should become a joint annual momentum for Indonesian people and international community to find a breakthrough of time adjustment. The changes keep occurring, thus we need to deal with it properly. Certainly, music is expected not only to play a major role and provide economic contribution of a nation, but also to become a means of cross-cultural communication. So music, as the unifying communication which is universally accepted, is of course an absolute necessity in the mix of diverse cultures in the world. In addition, a lot of interest in the name of the group and the state often create a gap among the world's communities. Through music, we can maintain and preserve the values of humanity in a bid to further join hands in hands and to build the civilization for the common welfare. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred March 9, 1978, when Jagorawi Toll Road was officially opened. The Jagorawi Toll Road was the first toll road in Indonesia. The construction of the highway began in 1937 by some 200 workers at a cost of around 3,350 million rupiah per kilometer. It was officially opened by President of Indonesia Suharto on 9th March 1978. The toll road links the capital city of Jakarta to the west Japanese cities of Bogor and Ciawi. It has a length of around 60 kilometers going north and southbound and is operated by PT Jasa Marga, a state-owned enterprise. The name Jagorawi is an acronym of areas which connect Jakarta, Bogor, and Ciawi. The toll road has achieved a break-even point, making it the cheapest toll road in Indonesia based on price per kilometer. The next event was 2003, when the National Music Day was set. 9th of March was set as the National Music Day in Indonesia. It was chosen because the date was the birth of Wage Rudo Supratman, composer of National Anthem of Indonesia Raya. The determination of 9 March as the National Music Day was proposed by Artist Association, creator of sound and musical arranger of Indonesian recording, when President Megawati Soekarno Putri launched website PAPRI in 2003. The National Music Day was determined on the year of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono through Presidential Decree No. 10/2013. The National Music Day was initiated because of a concern of national musicians on piracy, which was held on their works. And the last event was in 2011, when a Space Shuttle Discovery landed the last time after a total flight of 39 times. Space Shuttle Discovery is one of the orbiters from NASA Space Shuttle program and the third of five fully operational orbiters to be built. Its first mission, STS-41D, flew from August 30th to September 5th, 1984. Over 27 years of service, it launched and landed 39 times, gathering more space flights than any other spacecraft to date. Discovery became the third operational orbiter to enter service, preceded by Columbia and Challenger. It embarked on its last mission, STS-133, on February 24, 2011, and touched down for the final time at Kennedy Space Center on March 9. Having spent a cumulative total of almost a full year in space, Discovery performed both research and International Space Station ISS assembly missions. It also carried the Hubble Space Telescope into orbit. Discovery was the first operational shuttle to be retired, followed by Endeavour and then Atlantis. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus through our rival service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's focus is the maritime potential boosting Indonesian competitiveness in the era of ASEAN Economic Community. The great potential of maritime industries owned by Indonesia would be used as one way to improve competitiveness in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This must be done optimally, it was stated by Governor Prio, Arsyad Julianti Rahman at an event in Pekanbaru on last Tuesday. He said that the era of AEC is an increasingly tight competition because the existing regulation facilitates all countries in ASEAN region. The governor also pointed out that a lot of maritime potential keeps in growing. This is the Indonesian competitiveness in AEC. Indonesia has tremendous potential in the marine sector. He added that Rio province has some shipping industries such as the Regency of Rokan Hilir to be able to compete in ASEAN Economic Community. To support of this, central government through Minister of Trade and Minister of Industry will assist to promote local industries across Indonesia. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of the Solidarity Fishermen for Bengkalis, Hamdan, views that the traditional fishermen are not yet ready to face the era of AEC, despite it has been effective since 2016. Because there are still many things to be prepared, especially with regard to the regulations of fisheries for fishermen, business people, and rules of supporters. Yet the implication of the implementation of ASEAN free market is that the business people for the fishing industry, especially fishermen, should be ready. Hamdan added that the fishing tools used by Indonesian fishermen are relatively simple. As a result, this poses conflicts between Indonesian fishermen and foreign ones who use more sophisticated fishing tools. In addition, small business people of both fishing, farming, and traditional. Remembering AEC has been effective now, Hardam also pointed out that the Fishermen Solidarity for Bengkalis keeps encouraging the government to accelerate the readiness of the small-scale business people in fishery and in traditional fishing by running strategy programs. To the end, the budget of fishery sector should be able to encourage the production capacity of the fishery business people or fishermen to form a cooperatives and cultivate their own catch with the help of modern tools and processing facilities. In addition, they should also be provided assistance and counseling sustainably, so their catching production of Indonesian fishery is ready to anticipate ASEAN free market. That's Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo meets his predecessor Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono at the Merdeka Palace on Tuesday, on which both of them are having private meeting. As many as 15 delegates from Australia visited Mandalika Special Economic Zone in Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara to study investment opportunity in the area of 1,200 hectares of land. Non-active Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has met South African President Jacob Zuma at the residence of Fitch President Megawati Sukarnoputri. Basuki discussed Memorandum of Understanding of Sister City Program and offered the Thousand Islands for cooperation. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has said that Indonesian government will offer an Australian company the opportunity to jointly manage Lombok International Airport in West Nusa Tenggara. The Australian Consulate General in Bali commemorated International Women's Day 2017 with the business women from Indonesia and Australia at Consulate General Residence in Sanur, Bali on Wednesday. Indonesian Keramik Industrial Association cooperates with Reed Panorama Exhibitions to hold Keramik Exhibition 2017 in a bid to promote keramik industry and development of industrial technology at the global market. Malaria has become one of the dangerous diseases that can lead to death for the sufferers. Thus, to reduce the number of victims and to treat the disease, Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI develops anti-malaria medicine in 2017. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Gorontalo province. Stay tuned. Listener, the Java Tondano Art and Culture Festival has been held by the regional government of Gorontalo in Yosonegoro on March 1st to 4th, 2017. The festival is held for gathering of Javanese Tondano or Jaton ethnic events from various areas in eastern Indonesia. At this festival, four areas in eastern Indonesia, namely Ternate, Central Sulawesi, North Sulawesi, and Gorontalo, came and participated in the event. In the festival, various activities and competitions were displayed. For example, the traditional Hadrah dance, Hadrah creations, Salawat Jowo competition, Dana-Dana dance, and speech contest in Jaton local language. In today's Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to get to know one of the entertainment that is performed at the Java Tondano Art and Culture Festival, namely Dana Dana Dance. Dana Dana Dance is one of the traditional dances of Gorontalo region. The dance began to be known by the people of Gorontalo in line with the influence of Islam in Gorontalo. At that time, Dana Dana dance was used by scholars as a medium for the spread of Islam. The dance was also displayed in the wedding ceremony of Sultan Amai and Princess Owatangu. Since then, the dance began to be known by Gorontalo people. The Dana Dana dance was originally danced by male and female dancers in pairs. However, due to the strict rules and teachings of Islam, the dance may not be allowed by the male and female dancers simultaneously, so that at that time, only men are allowed to dance the Dana Dana dance. As the time goes by, Dana Dana dance then can be performed by female dancers. However, the movement, formation, and their costumes are adapted to the prevailing Islamic law. The word Dana Dana is derived from Daya Dayango local language, which means moving the whole body while walking. The dance is performed by 2 to 4 dancers. The dance is played with the dynamic movements and agile. In the dance, the entire limbs should move to the rhythm of the music. The dance is accompanied by a strange musical instruments and tambourines and songs contained with romantic rhythm or advice for teenagers. The Dana Dana dance, indeed, to describe an energetic teenager
with a great passion for life, so that the local community put the dance as the social categorized dance. The Dana Dana dance is normally performed to enliven the welcoming ceremony and festivities in Gorontalo. Saying from the function, the Dana Dana dance means an expression of gratitude and happiness. However, when saying from the movement of the dancers, the dance can be interpreted as a social dance among local community. In its performance, the Dana Dana dance is divided into two types of dance, that Dana Dana classical dance and modern dance. The classical dance usually refers to the concept of Dana Dana dance in ancient times. The dance usually shows the original movements, while Dana Dana modern dance has been modified in terms of movement, formations, costumes, and the number of dancers are usually more varied, depending on the group who perform it. Although it has been modified, the dance does not lose its authenticity. That was today's regular Indonesian Wonder with the topic Dana Dana Dance from Gorontalo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to inform you the National Music Day. Stay tuned. Listener, March 9 is commemorated as the National Music Day. The decision of March 9 as the National Music Day has been planned since 2003 on the era of President Megawati Sukarnoputri, based on the suggestions of the Song Composers and Music Arranger Association, PAPRI. The day has just been officially set as the National Music Day by the government through the Presidential Decree No. 10/2013 about National Music Day. This decree was signed by the 6th Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. The determination of the National Music Day on March 9 is done as one of efforts to increase people's appreciations on the national music, increase confidence and motivations of the Indonesian musicians, as well as to increase national, regional, and international achievements. The day of March 9 was chosen as the National Music Day because the day was Wage Rudolf Supratman's birthday. Wage Rudolf Supratman was born on March 9, 1903. He was a song composer of Indonesian anthem Indonesia Raya. Wage Rudolf Supratman died in 1938. He never had a chance to witness his song composition was sung at the proclamation text reading on August 17, 1945. On the commemoration of the National Music Day last year, the Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi initiated and released the National Music Bank. The Music Bank idea appeared amid many other issues in Indonesia music industry, such as piracy,
lack of appreciation to the musicians until many Western cultures affected Indonesian music originality. Music Bank is an effort and government's care through the Youth and Sport Ministry to facilitate and appreciate young generation creativities in music, as well as to give education to the people. The Youth and Sport Ministry also designed the Music Bank online, so it can be accessed by music lovers around the world. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next segment of Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian singer and songwriter, Rinto Harahap. Rinto Harahap was one of the Indonesian composers in the country, who is also a musician and singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song composed by Rinto Harahap, entitled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Petaria Sonata. Happy listening.
Jangan kan untuk bertemu memandang pun.
Listener, you have just listened to the song Kau Tercipta Untukku, composed by Rinto Harahap, sung by Betaria Sonata. Beta was a popular singer of 90s era. In addition to sing, Betaria also ran her career as a big screen player. In the world of cinema, Beta found her life partner, an actor, Willy Dozan. From the marriage with Willy Dozan, Beta has two children. Until now, Betaria Sonata still exists in the entertainment world. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hati Yang Luka, another song composed by Rinto Harahap by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening.
Membagi cinta.
It seems like a song lyric that you've just been enjoyed as an expression of disappointment over Beta's life. Seeing from the lyrics of the song, send me back home to my mother or my father. Besides busy as singers, Betaria also busy in the world of cinema electronic or TV series. Well, listener, to conclude our music for today, let's listen to the last song composed by Rinto Harahap entitled Cinta Biru by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz,
9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Suatu senja yang indah, ku rasa hatiku telah terpikat. Kala dada ini berdebar gelisah, sejak kau menatapku. Kini setelah lama kita
I'm Bila sadar engkau masih di sini, pastilah diriku tak sepi begini. Hari-hari pun semakin terasa membawa kejenuhan di dalam hidupku. Hanyalah semata engkau satu kasihku, sebagai penyejuk jiwa. Semakin gelap, namun mata ini tak jua terpejam. Kerinduan
bahagianya hati ini. Engkau berikan janji selalu berdua meraih cita, tak akan terpisahkan walau gelombang menerpa bak teralaju.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.